Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA? What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. Are you pouring anything good this morning?
Yes, yeah. Water.
Water. Oh, my goodness. You know, this is what happens when we're both away from our wonderful coffee machine.
Yes.
You know, yes, the one that brought us together for this show. And now it's safely secure at one of our fellow employees' houses, being used by her and her family.
At least it's safe and sound. It's safe and sound. It's going to be good.
Yeah, she's taking care of it. So Monica's overseeing the K-Cup machine, so it just doesn't sit there and calcify, I guess, you know. So how's your day going today, Dana?
Oh, man, Dennis, we got a busy day. So right after the show, man, we got to package some files.
Yeah.
Worry my federal work study students to turn in their timesheets so they can get paid.
Yeah, we have students working on, well, not working on campus, but working for departments, right?
Yes, Yeah, so that's a good thing, you know, that is available. You know, that offices are willing to hire our students. And then emails. Oh, Lord.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, Dennis, we had a, weren't you part of the email etiquette training last
week? Yes. Yeah, we did. So it all bore out of something we talked about in early spring, I think even before COVID hit. Was it offered training? The accreditation team thought that there should be more professional development, as always. And so I sit on the Student Support Services Committee for the campus, which is really kind of an advisory committee for student services made up of people from all the divisions, student services, academic affairs, and business admin services. And so me, Kelly Enos, the co-chair of the committee, and Diana Bonilla, one of the counselors on campus and overseeing the LA College Promise program, decided we'd take on email. And I think with a little bit of a nudge, because I'd read some books about email. I've been trying to always improve myself on how I use it. And also, I'm sure you see this occasionally from our fellow staff and people, how people really don't know how to use email.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, for lack of a better word. I can't think of a better word than terrible.
Sometimes, yeah, it's just really just awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So we went using a book, and I think I may have put it on the show at some point, called Send. It's a book from about 13 or 14 years ago. Two authors, a book again named Send. Pretty small book, but straightforward as far as how to put together an email, when to use email, different types of emails that you'd send, you know, like the ask, you know, I'm requesting information, the response, you know, responding to answer, you know, giving an answer to something, the groveling email when you have to apologize, all, you know, there's six basic types in all. But we went through all that and the training went real well. The turnout was pretty good. You know, I saw some of the people on our campus that when I think of the most egregious errors in the emails, at least they were in on the training. Now, whether that makes her, you know, whether or not that.
You didn't point them out, did you?
No, I'd never do that.
Good job. Good job.
But now, whether or not that improves our email, we'll have to see. But I think we're going to be doing more of these same session for academic affairs and students.
Oh, awesome.
Even admin services people at some point.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good to expand. And then in just talking to Kelly and Diana, our co-presenters afterwards, I clued him in on a couple things and said that we might want to do a part two. Because I was talking about something I figured they both knew about, but you know how to use the scheduling assistant.
Right, yeah. So you know? like an advanced version.
Yeah, exactly. How to make email work for you, you know, right. Using the scheduling assistant.
Yep. Uh-huh.
For all it's of awesome. Us, you know, that use Zoom.
Yep.
Getting the Zoom add-in.
Mm-hmm.
And then were you telling me about another add-in? There's another add-in somebody uses. I can't remember what it was now. But, you know, using add-ins in your Outlook, if you're using Outlook in particular, to, you know, the Zoom one's the best. You know, once you set up your meeting in the calendar, then you just hit the little button.
That's it.
And it adds all the Zoom info under your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of those
features are really helpful. They're really, really helpful.
I think those, and then also talking a little bit about using rules. So, for example, if your inbox is nothing but, you know, NASFA news, CASFA news, CSFA news, all these newsletters that come through regularly, news from Department of Ed, if you're on any of their regular listservs there, how to use rules to move those into a folder for, like, reading later.
Absolutely.
And, you know, reports that you get every day that you only look at once a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, using how to set up those rules is very important.
Yeah. And that's exactly how my email is organized.
Oh, good. Yeah, me too. Right. I got a folder just like that. And then, you know, one of my secrets also is occasionally sometimes, you know, you have colleagues, you know, in the district or outside the district that you've learned that they're the type that they just hit reply all to everything.
Oh boy.
You know, and it's a reply all thank yous and stuff like that fill up your inbox. And so sometimes you just have to create a folder called confinement. And literally for periods of time, certain people have to be confined. Because, you know, they're not asking a question probably. They're more likely just doing a thank you or butting in on a conversation or whatever.
I see. Mine is called Supermassive Black Hole.
Wow. Okay. So that's where those people get shoved off into. You know, it's all, you know, and you can always just say, hey, look, it's just email inbox management. That's all it is.
Yes, it is. And then you just call it what you call it, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And then I also use the category feature as well.
Me too. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I use categories so that things that end up in the same folder stand out.
Right.
But also, I'll say one of the tricks that I said to, I think, the staff was in particular when you're waiting on someone to respond. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll send an email and either I CC myself a lot so that if I sent you an email, Dean, I needed a response, I'd CC myself and it'd show up in my inbox.
Oh, I see.
But here's the next two steps. I have a category called waiting. So it's like an orange tag. I tag that email then is waiting. And then I separately have a folder in my inbox called waiting.
Oh,
so I will email the person my question that I'm waiting for an answer for, CC myself.
Uh-huh.
Email comes back to me in my inbox. I will immediately tag it and immediately throw it into my waiting folder. And the reason for that is, when I get a response, an email will show up in my inbox, of course, from Dana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's going to already have that tag on there.
Right. Uh-huh.
Then I know it's related to an email from before. Just in case, you know, during the reply, the old data gets lost or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or at least I know what I'm looking for. So that's one of those things I think I went over with our staff as just one way to help manage.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think those advanced tips will be very useful because, you know, our situation, we're going to be here for a while, so.
Well, exactly, and I mean, that's why it came to a head early on in probably like April or so when I was talking to our boss, our VP, about emails. And, of course, unfortunately, I don't think I've seen any improvement in this, really. But, you know, it went from, you know, too many emails in Zooms and bad email etiquette and such to now just like an overload again. You know, we cycled there for a little bit, but you know, even some higher ups in some of our institutions are using email as if it's a chat session or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And email is not that. It's not a chat. It's not texting. And it's not a phone call. If you want to do one of those, I suggest you do one of those. Really. one of the things we talked about, me, Kelly, and Diana, and with the group, is the whole idea of sometimes it's just better to start an email, whether it's a response or a first one, and sit on it for a little bit and see if it says what you want it to say. You know, I mean, that's just so key so that along the way that if I had one question for Dana and that one question goes in my mind, oh, I should have asked her this. And then I should have asked her that. Had I sat on it, maybe, just maybe, I would have sent you one email with three questions.
Absolutely.
And that is so much better.
Uh-huh. And I think sometimes we have to, especially now in our current situation, because
mm-hmm.
I think when we think about emails, we're thinking, oh, quick responses. That's yes. what it's for. So we're like, part of this training is to get people to understand that, no, that's not the purpose of
exactly.
email. It's a form of communication, but not necessarily, like you're saying, you don't use it as if you're having a conversation with an individual, you know? So I think it might take some time for people to catch on to that idea of the purpose of what email is for.
And exactly.
How to use it, utilize it to best benefit yourself and other people.
I couldn't have summarized it better. You're right. I mean, we've gotten into this way of thinking that it's a replacement for everything else.
Right.
Because it is so handy. One of the first things Kelly talks about when he gets right into the first part of that presentation we did was the whole idea of, again, you know, we have to consider when do we email and when do we do something else? When do you just pick up a phone and call somebody? When do you, if, you know, you're close enough to a staff person or another person, shoot them a text instead? You know, I mean, that sometimes might be easier between employees and supervisors to say, I can't get on the computer today, bad VPN. Versus sending an email, which will get buried somewhere. And if it's bad VPN, who knows if it gets delivered. Or like yesterday, we had an Outlook problem. I guess it was a nationwide thing. In talking to some people in other industries, I talked to a friend. He goes, oh, no, he got a similar kind of email. So Outlook had issues yesterday.
Okay.
But exactly that, you know, when to do it, and is there a better channel?
Yeah, because I think I texted you, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
you did the right thing, because there was like 3 hours in the afternoon yesterday uh-huh. that I got one email. Well, you know, that's obviously a problem.
Yeah, because it might get buried.
I mean, it's not really a problem. It just means I got one email and somebody really likes me up there. Yes, expect more. So if you have not done email etiquette training on your campuses and you think you're overloaded, talk to your bosses. I think it's good just to reset everybody to think. And really, some of the training, it's not always just the real specifics about processes and stuff like that. It's to have people take a second and think before they email.
Mm-hmm.
Take a second and think, should I first send it? Second, am I getting across what I need to ask of somebody clearly? Because, again, I shouldn't have to read through 90% of an email of information, or today at this meeting, they discussed this and this, and then somewhere deep down in the last line is, can you create a report with these 75 items of data and then report out to 17 different variations of this?
Mm-hmm.
That should maybe be at the front that says, I have a lot of work for you to do. And here's a realistic timeline for it. You know, I mean, clue in, you know, and again, this is nothing against people who are at my same level, at technician level, accountant level, or wherever. You have to remember, everything that you're asking is you know, you're putting upon someone's calendar or their daily work tasks, another task to be done. And will they have time? And are you being realistic about your timing? I mean, it's one thing when I get something from above me at a VP or whatever that says, can we get this by the end of the day? Now, if I can't get it by the end of the day, my response is not to not respond. My response would be, I can do this and this and this. And, you know, due to some limitations, it might take a little long or something, but at least to get a response out there to them.
it doesn't go in a supermassive black hole.
Exactly. Let's not be losing all our messages, everybody, into the supermassive black hole. Well, Dana, I think we're going to take a little musical break here and then move ourselves into our next segment.
And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing Cease for Show.
All right, fill up your water cup.
It's ready. Well, you know, it's because the air has been so dry out here. And I know it's dry in your hood, too.
Yes, it is. It really has been. You know, we've had this high pressure system again come back through. And today, I assume it's going to be, what, high 90s, all 100s?
Yeah, we're going to be in triple digits. We're going to be in triple digits here in my area.
The San Fernando Valley.
Yes,
it's going to be into the hundreds. And I know here it's going to be like low 90s in the Hollywood area that I live in.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be a warm one. And, yeah, it's been dry for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Drier than it should be.
And then with the fires going on, too, it's really not helping our situation either.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, we still got the Bobcat fire down here going.
Yeah, I had heard it. They're probably not going to be able to have it extinguished until like mid late October.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be a minute. Yeah.
This is one of those issues of California. When you have large forests that are hard to get into and fight fires, you know, and that's, I think, part of the problem on this one, you know, it's rugged terrain. People think, oh, it's just mountainside. Drop some water. Yeah. It's a little bigger than that, you know?
Yeah.
Your backyard fire, yeah, sure, that works, but
not this. This is on that level right here.
Hundreds of thousands of acres. We have to be careful out there. You know, I don't even think we got into talking, unfortunately, with our last interviewee, Jana Cox from Santa Rosa. You know, she lived through the fires up there in Santa Rosa, I guess, a few years ago. So maybe we'll have her and maybe Tamara come back on the show because they both have done some training.
Double trouble.
Yeah. In fact, maybe even Linda Williams, who's up there at Sierra College up in that area, have talked about, you know, how you handle disaster at your campus.
That sounds really good.
Fire's nearby and you've got students and staff and faculty losing homes and having to skedaddle, get out of town.
So, yeah. And even here at home, I just purchased an emergency kit.
Good.
For those of you that don't know, I live with my mother. So for us, just in case something happens, because you know we've been having a couple of earthquakes.
Yes. Lately.
Yeah.
Yes, we had an earthquake just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So gonna be as soon as I get it, you know, I'm going to fill it with like documents.
Okay.
Maybe some cash.
Yeah.
And you know, some clothes, you know, that like you know, like boots, jeans.
Oh, yeah, t-shirt, exactly.
Just in case, because you like you said, you never know.
Yeah, a bug out bag, as they would sometimes call
it. Yeah. And then just have it ready to go. Mm-hmm. If something, as we say here, if something pop off, you just be ready.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. No. And let me ask you, you love your mother enough that when it comes to food and water and all, you're gonna have enough for two people, I hope.
Oh man. So, okay. You would think, so everybody, I call my mother Miss Victoria. So you would think Miss Victoria would be the one to, you know, be more inclusive of everybody. Hey, you know, if you know, you need water. She told me, look, Dana, it's survival of the fittest.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, when that semi-zombie apocalypse earthquake comes or whatever.
Don't come here.
It's going to be like, yeah.
She ain't going to open the door for you. Don't even think about coming over here.
My water's my water and that's that. Wow.
And I was on the opposite end of that. I was like, well, I mean, you know, what if, you know, somebody come knocking, mom, what are we going to do? They just going to keep on knocking. That's what she said.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm sorry, Dennis, and everybody listening out there.
That's right.
Unfortunately, if you come here,
we're not getting water.
You're not going to get any water.
Wow. So that reminds everybody, go out, stock up properly.
Yes.
For any kind of emergency. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we had a 4.6 out here in the San Gabriel, South Pasadena, Alhambra area. Just a couple Fridays ago, mm-hmm. we have fire season, which seems to be 12 months of the year now. We have other things that could happen. But again, be reasonable now. Don't be like the people as soon as COVID hit and buy 800 rolls of toilet paper. Oh, yeah, try to remember a little bit of your other, you know, other people that you work and live with, you know, that kind of stuff. Just a little bit. But, you know, put together that bag or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, and it seems like silly because you know who like impressed that on me is Marisol. So Marisol's our supervisor, everybody. And she always talks about, you know, being ready, you know, being prepared, you know, and learning like CPR and how to do a tourniquet and all this stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And I would always like laugh at it. Right. But now seeing everything going on right now, I'm like, you know what, this girl, this woman, she has a point here. Let me jump on this bandwagon and just be ready. Cause you really don't know.
Well, exactly. And that's the whole idea is that, you know, the more you're prepared, then the less scared you're going to be about what to do next. And you really want to be prepared as much as possible these days. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, they say, you know, in a big earthquake, you know, you might be looking at, you know, they I think the quote is always you could have 3 days. You should expect to try to survive for 3 days. 72 hours until emergency services can get to you, things like that. Because, again, it all becomes at that point a little like war in the sense that things have to be triaged and prioritized. So you may have a sprained ankle and need emergency services and will want to go to emergency services during a earthquake or such. But there could be people with higher levels of trauma than that, broken bones, heart attacks, you know, all kinds of different, you know, underneath crush under buildings and all that will need to be tended to by emergency service staff. And so those things then have to be prioritized on where you can get help. So can you last it out? Are you well prepared?
Right.
So it's good to hear, Dana, that you're working on that and you're getting all of those things going and such. You know, every little bit helps along the way.
Absolutely.
Is what it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to take another little musical break here. And then lead ourselves into our last segment of the day. And just like that, we're back for our last sip segment. So get that last sip for those getting a hot beverage and all that. You know, before we move into what I assume we may have some I Dare You To ideas out there, I wanted to say we have one financial aid director I talked to last week who has listened to every single episode of our show. And so he really likes how the show works and all. He likes to hear us. He really likes our I Dare You To selections. And the fact that we've had some really interesting interviews so far. So we might just get him on the show at some point. He works out in the Irvine area of California here. So he probably now knows who he is. But he has listened to all of our shows. So
that is super awesome.
Yeah. So we've got, and he's not from Ecuador, like our statistics. Again, I'm referring to the fact that we get statistics on who exactly is listening, but like where they're coming from. And so 99% of them, United States. For 1 week, somebody from Ireland.
Yep.
And for some reason, another week, someone from Ecuador. So whoever you are out there, we're going to have our email address at the end of the show. Email us if you'd like to, just to let us know who you are and where you're at and such. We would like to know that.
That'd be so fun.
But now, Dana, it's time for a little I Dare You To. We got a few minutes here at the end of the show.
Okay.
You have any I Dare You To stuff for me or such?
Yes, yes.
Yeah?
So, Dennis, I dare you to check out on, should I say the name? I'll just say the name of the documentary.
Okay.
It's The Social Dilemma.
The Social Dilemma.
Yes. Have you heard about it?
No, not really. But let me ask you, I assume, you know, because I think of that movie about Facebook. That was what, the social something?
Ooh.
Oh, what was the one with Jesse Eisenberg?
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, man.
But that, but so that title, what I'm saying is, it makes me think social media related?
Yes.
Okay, so is. Social media related. And yes, a social dilemma sounds like actually someone's thinking about this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it all be, and I know I've got the books here.
Okay.
Is it said Jaron Lanier?
So he's one of the commentators okay. in the documentary.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanna check out I think you have some of his books, don't you?
I do. I've got probably the one that you probably want to read if you've seen this documentary, which sounds like it's gonna be on this kind of level. 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts.
That's right, the one.
Now.
That's the one I want to read.
It's got a cat on it. Uh-huh. Jaron Lanier. I read this within the last year or so.
Okay.
And you literally, by the time you get to argument number 7, this should have been argument number 1 in the book. Social media is making you unhappy.
Aww.
Why do so many famous tweets end with the word sad? And he goes through, and I'm going to tell you, I hate to give away the story here. I'm not going to give it away too much. Okay. He talks about the word bummer in this book a lot. Okay. And it's a terminology he uses to explain the whole idea, the fact that you're losing your free will. Which is true because you're handing over, you know, control of parts of your life. And the fact that you tell me, I assume this documentary talks about how you got to remember there's a lot of engineering behind the scenes, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And it's intentional.
Uh-huh. And exactly.
So, yes. Uh-huh. Now, and not to say that, you know, these individuals, they're being insidious purposefully, not at all. Mm-hmm. But it's just at the end of the day, they're trying to sell a product. So by any means necessary. So, but yeah, definitely. Yes.
Okay. The social dilemma.
Yeah. The social
documentary.
Dilemma.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's pretty good.
Okay. I was going to say the next book from him, Jaron Lanier wrote that I have is called You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. Okay. And so this, I think, kind of takes a broader view of things. As far as he offers a critique of how digital design, as far as how we've designed networks and stuff, mm-hmm. including the internet, you know, shapes society for better and for worse. So definitely worthwhile. Sounds like both reading wise and TV show wise.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Well, those are very good picks. I like that.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And the reason I even picked up his book about the, you know, deleting your social media accounts was, I'd read a book by Cal Newport called Digital Minimalism.
Okay.
And again, it takes the idea again of we really have to think about how we value ourselves and our time when we're getting into this social media racket. Are we really getting more out of it? And again, who's using the information in the backside? Sometimes.
You know me. You know how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Where's it all going? Where's it all being stored? How is it being used?
Exactly, because all that matters, everybody.
Yes, it does.
Well, Dana, we're just about out of time for today, but there's always our next episode, and we have another interview coming up on this Friday. So everybody, hold on to yourself. We'll have another show then. But until then, I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at cccsfaaa.org. That's cccsfaaa.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all WBC or What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And as always, you can find all episodes at wbccsfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word.
And now you can send us feedback about the show. If you have something to say or you have a topic you want us to discuss, email us at cccsfaaa.gmail.com.
That's at gmail.com.
Yes,
at gmail. Instead of the dot. Otherwise, you'll never get a hold of us. But hey, What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of myself and Dana.
This has been episode number 24, recorded the morning of Tuesday, September 29th, 2020.
Have a great day.
And hey, have a great week.